Well, let's go into a study here this morning. And this is something that I thought, well, I was fighting with it and thinking, why would I want to bring a simple message on this, relationships of family relationships? You know why? Because the devil is doing what he can do to disturb and destroy relationships. And if he can destroy the family, he's got the church, he's got the church, he's got the nation, doesn't he?
Right.
And so let's turn to Titus, the second chapter, as we look about all kinds of people in their thrust. And, you know, it's kind of like even this morning. I could have got testy, and I kind of did a little bit, because we were running a little late, and thinking about my role as a husband, you know. I'm to set an example, and it's important to be able to be examples, because that's all we're here for. Otherwise, the Lord would have taken us home, wouldn't he? As we got saved, of course. So let's go ahead and look in Titus 2 at verse, read verse 1, and on down to, probably 8, I guess it would be, about our speech. There's all kinds of good things here. The Word of God, you know, just like an old preacher used to say, which he's gone to be with the Lord now, he says, and I've said this before, but he customizes his word for you at that occasion. And that's true. He does. Otherwise, why would God's word be any different than any other book, you know?
Right.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, first of all, before we read his word. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to come before you here this morning. We know that you love us in spite of our sinful ways, just like patriarch David, Lord, he went so many ways to sin against you, even to the point of killing a man. And we know that our sins are no different than anybody else's. We're all in the same boat. And so I just pray that you'll use your word to apply to our lives here this morning, even though it's simple, it needs to be profound. And your word is always profound, but yet it is simple. And we know, Lord, that we are simple people, and we need your instructions, and we need your uplift. And there's people here today that should be here, but we know, Lord, that this message may not apply to everybody in their circumstances at a certain reading here, but we know that we can apply it to our lives. So I pray that you'll use me. I'm just a simple man, but we want to have your profound words administered to us this morning. So bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And just like yesterday, I might want to say this before I go into the reading of God's word. There's people all over this territory that need you. And we don't want to ever underestimate our influence. And that's why I guess I chose this over the others that I was studying, thinking about all kinds of things. And before you get here, the pastor knows, anybody's given a message, you want to have a message that would be fitting for our ears, right? But we know that the Lord will customize it for us. Let's go ahead and read at verse 1. But speak thou things which become sound doctrine. In other words, his laws is his instructions for us in righteousness. That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, and in faith, in charity and, in patience. So there's a big word right there, patience. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And that's a big one, too. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, covers the old man, and now this is young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, in other words, of their living, having no evil thing to say to you. And so we'll stop right there. Good speech. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Does everybody have always good speech in their conversations with their mates? No, they don't, do they? Many times we've got to... The Bible says, he that controlleth his tongue and his lips controlleth himself. I'm trying to think how that verse goes. But anyway, our lips, our tongue, our conversation, we want to be able to let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And when we get put into a pressure point, then we don't know how to sometimes speak, do we? And that's good for everybody and their gooch, right? Because everybody, it doesn't matter who it is. When I'm putting into a pressure point, many times I don't speak rightly and I got to repent of it. I may not always, and being that this is pertaining to the husband and the wife, I don't always speak to my wife like I should. And I guess that's one of the reasons that this is very much applicable, if you want to use that word, for all of us, right? And so let's look into a few things here pertaining to every woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. Well, how does a foolish woman pluck it down? Well, there's many, many ways, right? Before I got married the second time, and the first time, you know, my late wife died. So there was a divine waiting period of 7 years. 7 years I had to wait for the good woman to come around. But I was looking everywhere. And I won't go into all that, but nevertheless, I was looking. I was looking for the right woman. And you know, the Lord says, you wait, even though I didn't want to wait. You wait, and I'll direct you to the right way. And so it took other people for the Lord to use to direct me in that path, right? Brother Dave can understand this. But we do know that there is a time that we need to wait and be patient. And that is a big, big criteria. And let's look into a few scriptures here. It says in verse 4, that they may teach young women, this is talking about the woman now, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Well, I hope you don't mind me a personal application. Some people find it a little bit strange to do so, but as I was looking, I went down south to Lawrence, Kansas, down there at Brother Scott Hank's show, down there in Lawrence, Kansas, and I thought she was a cat's meow. I was looking for a woman. Hope you don't mind me revealing some of these things, but I was looking for a woman that had never been married. Why? Because I didn't want to have a bunch of garbage. But you know what? I found out that those that have been hurt and have gone to the side, far as men and women, far as that goes, are looking in the direction of having a mate that would be, far as the divorce issue, looking for a mate that would be fitting them. And just like I was talking to somebody the other day, that I said that, you know, you can be equally yoked in Christ, but yet be unequally yoked. You know why? Because your habits are not always their habits, and your likes not always their likes. So I looked around. I even went up to Canada. I even went to the Philippines. Did you know that? I even went to the Philippines. I mean, how bizarre can you get? Crazy, right? But you know what? A woman and a man mean a lot in the marriage. And if you don't have a proper marriage, the Bible talks about better to go out into the desert than to live with a brawling woman, right? So we know that it's important to find the right one. Well, let's look at Proverbs, the 31st chapter, as we see that the home is the woman's career and a fortress. Because, you know, a man, he has his job, and he has his interest out there. And I heard about different women that go out into the force, workforce, and get themselves in trouble. Why do they do that? I mean, why do they get in trouble? Because they do not have a husband that understands their likes. Their character's not the same. And they find a man that they thought would be more fitting. And guess what? They end up splitting up and they get their eyes someplace else. Let's look at Proverbs 31 at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a big criteria, isn't it? All the days of her life. and she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Well, I could stop there a little bit, but let's read it a little bit more. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her husband. Maybe that was Tina's issue this morning, was it? And portion to her maids, and considereth the field, buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard, and she girdeth up her loins with strength, and strengtheth her arms. In other words, she can't be a weakling. She's got to have some energy. She's got to have some motivation and ambition. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and the candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she's not a lazy person. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Tremendous indictment, isn't it, to be able to see good things coming from a virtuous woman. And, you know, I like to go into a personal illustration, but I'm not going to. It is a matter of the woman having ambition and loving her family. That's why we all work, right? Us men, we work for our family, the women. I know Renee is a good cook. She's ambitious. She's motivated. And all these are characteristics of what a good woman should be, right? And today, we need to, as a total society, follow these precepts and these concepts the Lord's given to us. So let's look at maybe another one here in Colossians 3:18. The home is the woman's fortress. In other words, she comes home, she doesn't want a grouchy husband, does she? She wants to have some peace in her home. And when she does, everything goes well. You know, as the old saying is, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And so we can have good relationships as we go forward for the Lord. And when we don't go forward, or when we got a crabby household, nothing goes forward. Let's look at verse 18 in chapter 3. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. This goes both ways, doesn't it? And be not bitter against them. Well, is a woman always kind and loving and gentle? No. Is a husband always that way? No. But I'm grateful that even David, the patriarch David, as he got his eyes off the Lord, he didn't get out into the battle, did he? As he is supposed to be. He stayed at home. And many husbands today, they let their wives work. I know several, and I know of a guy that committed suicide because he couldn't handle it. His wife couldn't handle it because he was not out engaged in the workforce, meaning business. And so we know it's important to be able to be energetic, motivated, and loving most of all. Let's look at verse 10 there. And have put on the new man, Colossians 3:10, the new man, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, on Christ, of course, and where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Synthon, however you pronounce that word, bold, bond or free, but Christ is in all and in all. And put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness of the mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That's a big one right there, isn't it? Forbearing and forgiving one another. Another big one. And if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgave you, so do ye also. And above all these things, put on charity. That's the biggest one right there, isn't it? Love hides a multitude of sin, right? You think to yourself, am I ever going to be able to get over this grudge? After a while, you know, you do after a while. It may be a real heated argument. I was told the other day about a guy that's not born again. He claims to be, but there's no fruit whatsoever. And he's been engaged to this woman for a while. He's had several women, matter of fact, in the past that I've known him. And he went to a person, was one of my customers, and she said, well, you know, Steve came over the other day. I'd already revealed his name, but nevertheless, most of you don't know him, but he come over to the house, and she said that his girlfriend, I won't name her off, but his girlfriend was throwing knives and bottles and all kinds of stuff at him. Can you imagine that? Watch out, you're going to get it. And threw a knife at him. And he wanted to go and stay with her for a while, and she said, no, it won't work. She's not a Christian now, mind you, but she's about a year older than I am. And it wouldn't work. So women are not always the easiest to get along with. And men aren't either, I'll tell you that. I'm definitely be the first to point the finger my direction. I'm not always easy to get along with. But we have to put on these traits here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. That is a big one there, long-suffering. We've got to be long-suffering. And somebody that thinks they are above their mate is fooling themselves, aren't they? Because none of us are above anybody else, and we want to have the proper analogy of our own intent. Let's look at Genesis, the third chapter, at verse 16. Genesis 3, I think it is, yeah, 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, that is, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire should be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Boy, that's a big, big issue today, isn't it? No man is going to rule over me, I'll tell you that right now, the woman might say. There's a lot of women that way. And I'm trying to think about that. It was kind of like a list of the commandments, you know, for women and the women's liver, anyway. And I can't remember what I did with it, but you'd be surprised what they maintain there. And one of them is that they'll be their own boss. And Brother Jordan down there in Beatrice has a scripture in the Old Testament pertaining to that women are going to usurp the authority over man in the latter days. I can't remember exactly where it's at. I had a notion to give him a call this morning and ask him where it's found. But, boy, you see a lot of that today, where women want to rule the house. And is that going to fly? No, it's not going to fly. Even on the commercials on TV, there's a guy that I remember, he had a red beard, and she was wanting to change internets, and he come in like a mouse. And he expressed, you know, that's fine, you know, but how far does that go? Well, only the Lord can give us the unity that we need. And if you fight over the way the toilet paper rolls, you don't have much going, do you? I've heard about people getting divorced over that. And so the husband is not to be the dictator. He's to be able to have the authority from God and in a loving way, mind you, in a loving way. Reminds me, and I'm not going to say who this is, and maybe I could still get by with it, but it doesn't matter. But this man went into the ministry after a period of time. He was like I was. He was into alcohol, and I got into a little drugs when I was younger. But you know what? The Lord turns things around. Is there any sin that's any different than the other one? No. And this man got saved anyway, but before that, his dad was a drunkard, and he was cheating on his mother, and he hated his dad. But you know what? Before that man died, his father, he got saved. And his life changed, but his mother wouldn't forgive him. She wouldn't. She just couldn't hardly believe that a man like that would do that to her, and she held a grudge all the way to her death. And I think she was 92, and I don't know how old he was. He was a good provider. He took care of the family. Had several houses. And that was down in Oklahoma, I believe it was, where they had a good economy at one time. But I'm just saying that you got to be willing to forgive your mate, don't you? And if you can't forgive your mate, you're in bad shape. Most of this applies to most everybody here today, but I know there's a couple in here that might say, well, this doesn't really apply to me. Well, the traits and the applications do, because if it is not your husband, it's somebody else that would be around you, right? And so whether it be an employer or whatever it might be. So we've find you. Oh, I was going to read that scripture there. No, I do too. I read most of it, I think. Genesis 3:16. Greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception and sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be her husband. That's what it was. And he shall rule over thee. And Adam said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed be the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat in all the days of thy life. In sorrow. Does anybody like to live in sorrow? Absolutely not. We want to have peace, don't we? Every day the Lord says that as your days are, there shall your strength be also. The Lord wants us to get strength in our family, and that's why we try to have our devotions every morning before we do anything. Why? Because it's the way to go. And have you ever gone through a couple of days where you didn't have your devotion, spent time with the Lord, with your family, and wonder why you can't get along? Well, the Lord says, back up and realize what you're doing. You need to have the devotion and pray with your family. Let's look at Ephesians 5:22, if you would, please. Like I said, the Lord will customize His word for our listening ears. Whether you are married or whether you're not, He will customize it. 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, we could leave unto the Lord out of there, and it would be one thing, but the Lord captioned that and says, unto me. Do it, whether you feel like it or not, submit yourself to your husbands, wives. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, it says. Yes, in everything. But how about my husband if he starts out into the bar and he says, come and drink with me and have a good time? Does that mean she should go? Absolutely not. So when he says in everything, this is something that we need to realize that is not going into sin, right? And there's all kinds of things that people can get into. Bonnie and Clyde, for instance. Were they married? I don't know for sure. But she followed him, and they got into trouble and got into jail. And I'm not quite sure about the death part. But nevertheless, a woman is to be subject unto her husband and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word of water by the word, that he might present itself, or it to himself, that is, a glorious church, having not having spot, that is, or wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. That's a big issue, isn't it? As their own bodies. When you become married, you become one in Christ. And the woman is not to reject the husband. The husband's not to reject the wives. That he that loveth his wife loveth himself. So when we see a mate hurting, we pray for, of course. Pray for the woman, prays for the husband. When Renee has a bad back, I can empathize with her because I've got a bad back. A friend of mine went into, he was over there in Fort Calhoun. He still lives there. And he had a terrible accident. He said, I almost died. I hadn't talked to him for months. And he said, a woman run the stop sign and smacked into my car and bounced me around in the little car, totaled the car out. And his neck is out of whack. He injured his back, got lacerations all over his head. He said, I come out of there. And I was sitting on the curb and bleeding all over the curb in a pool of blood. And the police come by and said, we need to call you an ambulance. And he said, no, because he's a stubborn old military guy. He said, no. He said, I've got a daughter here, and she's a nurse, and she's coming to pick me up. What I'm saying is he doesn't have a wife to pray for him, but he's got one on the line. And so we need a mate to encourage us, don't we? We need a husband. Wives need their husbands. Husbands need the wives. When I come home, Renee is very good at cooking meals. She loves my children, a lot of attributes. But I could harp on the negative things over here, just like counseling. When two couple come in, they sit down, and they start nitpicking on the mate and saying, he's done this and she's done that. You know the best thing to do? For them to make a list of the attributes that they know is good in their mate. And next thing you know, it revolutionizes their marriage, doesn't it? We've got to focus on the good things, otherwise it's not going to be a positive marriage. So let's look at six things before we end this hour. Six things to look at that a wife should do. I remember giving a message similar to this up on the Canadian border. And this one woman, I'm trying to think, Roberta, I think her name was, said, when are you going to get a message? I was on the radio. Says, when are you going to give a message? I probably alluded to this fact in the past. But when are you going to give a message on the men? When are you going to talk about the men? You're always talking about the women. She got a little testy and hasty about it. I said, well, you just wait. It's coming. And so let's look at some traits here about the good six things to look at that a wife should do. First of all, submit. That is a big issue. Not as a footstool, though. A woman is not to be trampled on. And I could go into personal illustration. I won't. But you know, there's a lot of impatience in all of us, isn't there? We say, why didn't you get yourself going? Why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? Well, we're to be, as it says in Galatians 5:18, submit yourself unto the Lord, right? One to another. We're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And no one is any different than the other. And second of all, be subject to, as I stated the fact, one to another. Not to do anything evil, not to strike back. Third of all, be in subjection one to another, which goes down the same line. And be obedient to, not to argue and not to have strife and hostility. And this applies to everybody, doesn't it? We're not to be arguing. And some people argue less. I remember my mother in the days past, she said, when she married my stepfather, we don't ever argue. And I looked at her kind of strange and thinking, how can that be? Two people living together, two people that are sinners, and they don't argue? There's something wrong there. I found out later they were arguing. She just didn't want to admit it. And we know that when we argue, it causes division, it quenches the Holy Spirit, and we cannot even have our prayers answered, as the Lord says. And when our prayers aren't answered, we're miserable, aren't we? I don't know about you, if I'm not in conjunction with the Lord, I'm not really the kind of man I need to be to my family. And reverence. We're to lift up one another. Just like our pastor here says, I'm not to be reverend, and I'm not to be reverend either, and no man is to be reverend. But when you reverend your spouse, that means you lift them up and you set them above you. And that's a big, big issue in marriages today. And last of all, to love in every situation. Every situation. I've been married twice now. And when I got married, both times in that respect, I could see great things happen, you know, and the fireworks were going off over my head and thinking everything was great. And it's going to be fantastic. Well, you know, I married a sinful person like I'm a sinful person, and we cannot be perfect in every aspect that we get into. And I'll go into maybe one or two more verses, and then we'll close. Let's turn to Titus, or not Titus, but 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, in other words, there's a contingent factor here. Likewise. Let's read verse 7, first of all, in this chapter. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, that's with a little L, by the way, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Boy, the women don't like to hear that, do they? Well, it's a fact. It's a fact. The Lord has made it that way. Renee can't go out there and help me work. Well, she does every now and then, but she's really regretting it if she has to lift 60 pounds of concrete. Why? Because she's a weaker in that respect, and a lot of respects emotionally. That's why we don't need women on the battlefields for our nation. They are weaker emotionally. They're weaker physically, but not in respect to physically. Spiritually. Because women, I know, in a lot of churches, support the church more than the men. And you know that's a bad indictment because men should be in there tooth and nail supporting the church. And so where do I leave off here? The weaker. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. And there's a lot of attributes we could go into there, but in respect of supporting one another is what we want to look at. Renee knows my weak points. I know some of her weak points. And so what should we do? Should we grumble and complain? No, we ought to get on our knees and pray, Lord, please help my mate to be able to be what you want her or him to be, right? And then when we do, we are much, much better off. So it takes a woman to make a house a home. And we've all heard that. Wives can make a home a haven of the pressures of the outside world, or she can make it a hell on heaven. I mean, hell on earth, right? Because the Lord talks about a contentious woman, but also he talks about a contentious man. And when we have bad situations take place in our lives, then we don't want to blame one another for their downfall, do we? Let's go ahead and go to the Lord of Prayer. And like I said, I never know for sure. I'm sure that everybody that gets up here is really not totally, absolutely right on the hammer. But we do know the Lord will use His Word to customize it for our listening ears at that time. Lord God, we thank you for opportunity to be able to put you first. Thank you for your love and your mercy, your goodness. And I pray that this message will be able to help us to realize that we haven't arrived yet. We need to improve ourselves each and every week and each and every day to be able to be better men and women for our household, for our children, for our grandchildren, whoever may be coming along. We need to be examples. And each and every one of us. And that's why that I believe that men are the downfall of this nation, because they're not taking the bull by the horns and be able to rule and reign as they need to, as you have given us that authority to do. So help us to be able to be improving each and every day and week and throughout the years, that we might please you in all that we do. Give us a good service this morning. I pray for visitors to come. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do throughout the preaching. And what's been accomplished by the music, that it might inspire and encourage us as we might glorify you in the service this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.